things, our neighbors, our loved ones, people we know, church families, on our sick, afflicted. And then if you turn on the news, that sure doesn't help any. You turn on the news and you see people being pushed over in front of a streetcar and to run over. I mean, what kind of world are we living? All those things are in my pictures. And if you see it, seems like that picture stayed in your mind. Well, when I read the Word of God, I let the pictures that establishes in my mind come to my mind. I want to look this morning at a picture of God's provisions. Turn your Bible, please, to the book of Isaiah chapter 35. A picture of God's provisions. All of us are wired differently. We're so different, no doubt. But when I read or hear a message and I think about, for instance, Moses out there as he was, and I don't watch television about religious movies. You may enjoy them. I do not. They do not comply with the Word of God, and they ruin the picture that I've got in my mind when I read the Word of God, because they don't say that. If you look a picture of Moses or you read the Word of God, and it just don't line up, because Hollywood doesn't agree with the Word of God, and I don't watch that stuff myself. Because when I read the Word of God, I get a picture in my mind. I see Moses out there as he is going out there tending his father-in-law Jethro's sheep, and all of a sudden, a bush. And God shows me a bush. It probably wasn't that bush, but it suffices my mind. And I don't want anybody messing that up. Because when I read God's Word, and all the times God's spoken to me when I've been out doing things, and He says, go do this, go do that, I still have a picture in my mind of where I was. I see the setting. It's a wonderful thing. And this morning, we're going to look at something wonderful. And hopefully, as we're looking at something wonderful about what's going to happen in the future, Isaiah, the prophet of God, wrote this 700 years before Christ. All the things he wrote about Jesus, can you imagine the pictures God gave him about Christ Jesus coming, the virgin born, Son of God, and then, of course, the millennial kingdom, on. Pictures before they even happened. Many times, I'm sure all of us do, we like to get those picture books of yesteryear. We like to sit down and look at grandpa and grandma and great-grandpa and grandma, and we like to look at ourselves as little babies, maybe. And that's in the past. We have those treasured in our mind, pictures. And you see them in black and white, but then somehow God stores them in your mind. Well, it's even wonderful to look at the past. But this chapter portrays some pictures of the future. And it's not the things of the world, not the high inflation, all the things that's gone wrong. It's not the past, it's the future. A wonderful future that we will enjoy. Let's let God speak to our hearts this morning as we look and let God develop that picture of the provisions He has made for us. Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. When I think about this verse, I think about Israel, of course. And if you drive through there now, it's barren, it's desert, a lot of it, you know, no vegetation, no rain. It's just desert. But then when I read this verse about the future, I can almost see in my mind how God's going to restore that, receive, and the millennial kingdom. He says the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It's literally going to happen. God's going to turn those deserts, and we'll be here to enjoy that. Let's keep reading verse 2. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God shall come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Another wonderful refreshing thought in our minds as we look and everything we have seen the past, and you're looked at today, and you look at the past, how beautiful things were. Seems like they have decayed. It's not like it used to be. This is so joyful. Such a breath of fresh air, if you will, that God's going to turn these desert places, these dry times, these sad times where all the hurt and all the murders and all the pornography and all the killing of babies and the women and all the things that's so wrong in our world. Not going to be like that anymore, but I want to dwell on the next three verses. And let's look at how God has established and will establish and will promote and will prosper. And we're going to see the means he does it, because we know with Christ Jesus, the prophecy said he's going to come. Isaiah is looking forward to that birth. And I can only imagine the pictures God gave him in his mind as he was permitted to write about the future. But let's dwell this morning and look at what God's going to do. What he's already done, we'll begin by saying what God's already done in our life. When we were born, every one of us, we were born into a world with all the sadness, all the sickness, and all the sin. And even though it's worse now, it's always been bad ever since Adam and Eve sinned. But we got here in this world and full of sadness, and there was no hope. Unless you and I heard the gospel and believed the report, there was no hope for any of us. And though it was a sad situation, if you look around at the world's poverty and the world's problems and the world's disappointments, but then we read about, we heard about, we heard mom and dad teach us perhaps, or in my case, mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, and I was so blessed about, yes, there's hope. Why? Because you look around and you see all the suffering, the sorrow, and we were reared, many of us, like myself, were reared poor. You know, if I got one or two pair of shoes a year, that boy, I took care of them. You know, because I realize that's the last shoes I'll get until my feet grow so much I can't get in these. And we're thankful, as she told us this morning, thankful about the little things. But then we heard about Christ Jesus, how he came into the world. And it's the Christmas season almost, Thanksgiving season and Christmas season now. Fast it appears, and that's wonderful. We think about and we read about this world that is not our home because we're just pilgrims and strangers passing through. But our job is to receive what God has given to us. And when he draws us to him, we accept that. And we realize, as we sang a beautiful song this morning, about the blood that was shed at Calvary and how the blood is applied to our heart. And eradicates, gets rid of all the sin in our life, not only past sins, present sins, and future sins, all of them combined because of Christ Jesus. And it gives us hope. But still, we live in a world of gloom and we see suffering. But then he paints this picture. And this picture about what he's already done, what he's doing, and what he wants to do. But we have to accept that in our own lives. We have to receive the report. We have to understand and know that there is hope in Christ Jesus, and we're not always going to be in this old world. He's going to come for those that have been redeemed. He's going to take us home. We're going to be with him those 7 years, and then all the trouble down here on the earth going on, we can't even imagine. Revelation tells about it. Other scriptures tells about all the discord and all the hurt, and you think it's bad now. We won't be here to see it if you're saved, but your tribulation will be a million times worse than anything we've ever seen. And so our job is to tell others that they don't have to be here during that tribulation period. We don't know when the Lord's coming, but we know we realize we're in the last days. We're in that time when He could come, may come, and I expect Him to come. And then Isaiah paints this picture. Let's dwell on the next three verses. Verse 8. We skip a verse. Let's go back to verse 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Hold your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of a dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and the streams in the desert, and the parched grounds shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Listen carefully, verse 8 through 10. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sadness shall flee away. Verse 8. The means and the course of that pathway, that way. There's a way of holiness and that way of joy. And God is a holy God. And God has provided, He has given us Christ Jesus. Isaiah saw that beautiful picture. I don't know if God permitted him to see in his mind the Christ child as it was born to Virgin Mary, but he sure wrote about it. And then he wrote about the sufferings of Christ, how he was a man of sorrow, man of grief, and how he would be wounded and how he would die for the sins of the world. He suffered all those things. God let Isaiah read about this, but then we read about this, the means and the pathway, the way of holiness. God uses that word holy because He is holy. And God is a righteous God. God is one that's never made a mistake, never done anything wrong. He is a God that's holy and just. And He has given us the opportunity because of the blood of Jesus. And we accept that God has paved this road. He has opened this way of holiness. And He tells us specifically that nothing's going to be on there except the redeemed of the Lord. It's a pathway to heaven. There's no other way to get to heaven except through, by, because of death, burial, resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He paved the way at Calvary. If you go to Golgotha, it's just a stony hill and all the things that's built around it. Now, it's not a pretty sight to look at, but can you imagine Christ Jesus there? Just outside the city gates, and the crowd came by the main thoroughfare, and they wagged their heads and they made fun of Him as He was there on the cross, bleeding and dying and suffering. And the religious crowd, they were there also. They were laughing and sporting. He was providing a way in that rugged mountain. He would shed His blood there. And then the tomb that was very close by, they tucked His body down, Joseph of Arimathea, and He put Him in that barred tomb, rolled a stone on it, and hurried, had been told that got to be careful. These disciples of Him have got a saying that He's not going to stay there. And He made the proclamation, seal it as best you can. Well, of course, they didn't have to roll a stone away because Jesus, when He resurrected, he was in open rooms. Closed rooms with no open door, no open windows, but He just appeared. And today, when you and I are going through sorrowful times, when we think there's no hope, suddenly we pray, we seek God, and we seek His face, and because we're redeemed, it seems as though he's that right there with us, and he is. See, God does a, he's not limited by things we're limited with, you know, transportation, everything. The Lord Jesus Christ can be with us. And this way of holiness, he can put us on this way by one means. We believe and we accept the fact that there's no other road to glory, no other way to holy God except through, by Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost helps us to get that. How do you change your course? And how does one change his course? We're born in this world. It's a wide road. And that wide road leads to destruction. Then there's a narrow road. Christ Jesus told us about this road, and he paved that road. We're talking about in verse 8. It's a road that, because we believe the Holy Ghost does that for us, he comes to our mind, our intellect, and tells us that we're lost. We don't like that thought. We don't want to be lost. I remember as a young lad, I've told this before, but I got lost one time. It was after night. Dad had, and my brother had talked to me, and I guess I begged them to go. It wasn't their fault. They were going hunting, coon hunting. Oh, let me go, let me go. I was 6, 7, or 8, I don't know. And I went there, and it came my bedtime about dark. And so I want to go home to Mama. But those dogs, you know what they did? They treed a coon up on top of a mountain. It sounded like it was a mile away. And Dad says, we've got to go. That's what we came for. We've got to chop down the tree and get the coon. Oh, I want to go home. Well, go ahead, you know, just over that hill. I can't find it. I know what it's like to be in the dark. So as I started that journey, I looked back and said, I don't know the way. It's dark. And my dad told my brother, who was 2.5 years old, ready, take him up to the top of the hill. So he took me up to the top of the hill, and I saw the lights in the window where Mom was there. Probably a candlelight or a lamp light, because we didn't get electricity until I was second grade. But it was enough light to get me home. And I wasn't in the darkness anymore, and that thought keeps coming back to me. In a dark, troubling world. A world that's without hope. A world that, for the most part, hasn't seen the light of the glorious gospel. The pathway, Isaiah talks about, that leads to God. But then the Holy Ghost shines that light. He shines it bright into your heart. And you're not troubled anymore. It may come as a glimmer, like it was in the windows with my mother there. But I made a beeline. I ran all the way. The door was never locked at their house. I opened the door, and I probably jumped in my mother's arm. Mama, I don't like the dark. And in this world, the darkness out there for all the lost, I can't imagine being lost in this troubling time, that there's no hope. But then you and I are in this world, and Jesus said, talking to us, let your light so shine. And then we realize that within ourselves, we don't have any light. But Christ Jesus, the light of the world, is in our heart. And when we proclaim him, when we preach him, when we live a life of holiness in this world, that he's put us on this road, then others sees Christ in us. And that light shines brightly to those out there, as I was physically in the dark, wanting to get home. And God put a longing in everyone's soul when they were born, just as a little child, to go home to be with Jesus. But then, of course, we were told many times the word of God about that. But then, as they go along, they don't hear the gospel. They come to the age of accountability. Many moms and dads, and most moms and dads, don't tell them about Jesus. And they don't understand, they don't believe. Most of the secular schools don't teach Jesus. In fact, if anything's mentioned, they make fun of it. And teach those little children, for the most part, there's no God. Don't believe in that hope. And they never see the light. But it shines so bright. And read verse 8 again. And then highways shall be there. With there, Christ Jesus has the way. And a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. Isn't that wonderful? On this road that we're on, we're traveling. God's going to put us on that road when he comes back, of course, and nobody to find. Satan's locked up. Nobody's going to disturb. No, we can shout and we can rejoice because our name is not only written there, but we're citizens. We're citizens of heaven. We're in this world, but we're not of the world. But then he keeps reading and says, but it shall be for those. It's for us. The redeemed in Christ Jesus. The way, the means that we can have our lives here with Christ and God and get on this way to heaven and holiness. The wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. The Bible says, believe in thine heart, confess with thy mouth that he is the Son of God and he will save you. And then after salvation, we accept it. We tell others, we live that life of holiness. And then others see Christ in us. But the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And God can call them fools. I don't call them fools, but God can. But he says on that road of holiness, the pathway that we're traveling, the pathway that brings joy and hope and gladness. And we don't see all the pictures of all the hurt that we see today. You can't erase it from your mind. You see all those things. I can still see the things I wish I'd never seen about the hurt, the agony, the brutality, the killings, and all those things. I pray for policemen. I pray for first responders that's out there and sees the wounded and the people that's been blind. And I pray for all those because I've never seen that firsthand, and I hope I never do, because those are pictures in your mind. But I like to dwell on the pictures in God's Word. And it helps me somehow erase, maybe not erase, but overcover. And I see the pathway of holiness. We realize that God is a holy God. Not only the means and, of course, his pathway, but look at the manner of travel in verse 9. You see, when we're on this road, Christ Jesus is the leader. He's the guide. He's the king. And he's going to help us and understand what we need to know about that. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk therein. This day, I'm sure that when parents, their children go to school, they drive the interstates, and if you're like me, you know what could happen. And children are out at night doing the right thing. But then you think about those, not physical lines, but those beastly lines that's out there. They're murders, the people that shoot the cars. And I read several months ago, it didn't make the news very much, that in Biltmore, a little town of Biltmore, someone was going through right up in daylight and two bullet shots in the car. Just, we worry about that, don't we? Well, he's telling us on this road, there's no lines or there's no worry about that. We send our children out and they go out and we can't be with them all the time. And what if you were with them? You can't stop a bullet. You can't stop somebody from throwing a rock through your windshield. But you don't have to worry about it because look what he says. No lion shall be there. It represents the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom they may devour. Nor any ravenous beast shall go thereon. It's protected. This road will be protected. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk therein. Can you imagine? Get a picture of it. We're in the millennia. We're walking every day of our life. The joy, the gladness. Satan is bound up for 1,000 years. This is a picture that I like to keep in my mind. When all the sadness comes in their hearts and these boys fell out there, yeah, it's getting worse. Kindly switch the subject and let the Lord help you and say, but it won't always be like this. All those evil things will be done away with and we'll be traveling with the Lord and with one another and we'll be doing God's work in this kingdom age and there won't be worry about the devil there disturbing, putting thoughts in your mind, trying to deter you, distract you, get you on this. You can't, if you're saved, you can't lose your salvation, but he sure can get you to worry and fret and causes a lot of people to do things they shouldn't be doing. See, let this picture sink into your mind. It's not going to always be like that. Isaiah is letting us know by the Holy Ghost. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereon. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, not only the means of the pathway and the manner of travel, but look closely at the marvelous joys. It's wonderful. I was thinking, sitting here this morning, you know, we're in the house of God this morning. The outside world is out there. If we could kind of dismiss all those things and all the things we have to do this week. I mean, we serve the Lord. There's a lot of things to do. We got funerals and we got to do a lot of things for the Lord. And there again, the flesh gets weak, doesn't it? But we're in here this morning. We hopefully can open up God's Word, sing the songs, and make melody in our heart, and kind of for a time, but and kind of just refresh the marvelous joy there is in being assembled. No wonder Paul says, fail not to assemble yourselves in the manner some have. There's something about the house of God where we just come and we worship and we adore and we learn and we sing the songs and we get our mind for a while on the things of heaven and how good it will be. Oh, it's going to be like this eternity. Look at verse 10. The marvelous things that happen as we journey. And the ransom of the Lord shall return. See, we've been redeemed, we've been ransomed, we're coming back with Him. And come to Zion. He uses that word, Jerusalem, of course, but he used it many times. It's not only the Jewish people, but all those that's been redeemed. All those that's been with Him while the world's getting worse and worse. But remember, God's going to restore. He's going to come back and rule and reign 1,000 years. And this is the way it's going to be as we marvel. I'm sure, you know, I hope our minds won't have to go back in remembrance of the things like they used to. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. We come to the house of God and we hear from the choir. We hear from special singers. We hear the songs that makes me, and the older I get, the more I enjoy that. You know, I sing songs that I've sang for a lot of years. Seems like they have new meaning. Seems like I didn't get that part before. Isn't it wonderful? We're looking in a future when it's just the marvelous choice of the Lord all the time. No worry, no fret. And everlasting joy upon everlasting with no interruptions. Not in a moment's time will we have to worry about sin or evil, despondency, disgrace. No. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sin shall flee away. Isn't that wonderful? This is not the way it's going this morning whatsoever, as far as I thought. But you see, I don't know. I'm just following the Lord. I'm going to have to tell you something. It's a habit of mine. We're talking about the word sign. The Lord said, just tell them. I've got a habit. It's not a good habit. That almost every time I bend down, I go, for no reason. I was decorating the graves at Liberty Baptist Church where my wife's family is. As I was up there, I thought by myself. And every time I'd bend over, put it there. And I looked behind me and somebody said, Roy, is that you? Preacher I hadn't seen in 20 or 30 years. What kind of stupid habits can we get? But I read this verse. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I don't know why I do that. And if you wanted to, you'd tell me a lot of your bad habits too, couldn't you? Just stupid things. But that day, just joy. Can you imagine? Let your mind swell up. Get a picture in your mind that God will help you get there. Of the means that He has given us to God. That we accepted that. And then along the way, manner of travel we have with the Lord, with our friends, it's redeemed. And then the marvelous thing that's going to happen. It kind of helps you get over the doom and the gloom and the sighing and all these things that so troubles us this day and time. We need to get our minds on the place like that. It's going to happen. It's a reality. is told to us about 713 years before Christ Jesus. But it's a reality, and it may not be long in the coming. But the question, as you stand this morning, are you on that road? Just one way. The blood of Jesus Christ, we sing about. The pathway that leads to holiness. And God imparts to us, once we're saved, He imparts us salvation. Gets rid of the sin question. And then we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So wonderful. Please come to the piano, organ, play whatever God puts on your heart this morning. Just a picture.